Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
DJ Bannamy joining us today in a few minutes. Covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. But time for our toast of the week. My toast of the week, Blakers. You say Kikuchi. Astros 9-0. You say Kikuchi starts baseball games for them.
Yeah, you took mine, and I can roll with that. But I'm also going to toast the Seattle Mariners for doing everything in their power to make sure that the Astros win the division by just peeing down their leg and just creative ways back-to-back nights.
I'm going to give my toast to Joe being racist about Arch Manning and that winning me who said it, because you guys assumed that was Granato.
Good float, Brian.
Way to celebrate racism.
Yeah, seriously.
Terrible thing to
do. We all know
do.
Things about you we didn't need to now.
Mango chili. This is fantastic.
Yeah, the mango chili great. For our toast of the week by Stella Rosa Wines. As I always tell you, you serve it chilled, but you can serve it with any different viewing party or function you've got, because you don't need to nurse it. It's refreshing. It's crisp. It tastes fantastic. It goes with all your football season sweets and snacks. It goes with everything from the nachos to the pizza to all the things that DJ eats whenever we go on remotes. And it tastes so good. The bottom line is, make sure you go to your local grocer or retailer. You can get the Stella Rosa wines like mango chili and all the other ones that we've tried so far. And make sure you celebrate responsibly.
I toast DJ Bianime for joining us in studio when he doesn't have to join us in studio. So appreciate you doing that, DJ. Always better live and in person.
Yep.
Texans 2-0. Look, 2-0. I think good teams find different ways to win.
Right.
You look against the Colts, running attack, I think, is the thing that I look at there. You look against the Bears, defense. I think you win that game defensively. So first 2 weeks, so far so good for the Texans.
Yeah, I would say they've found ways to come up in the clutch and do what they have to do to get it done. Right, week one, Anthony Richardson goes down and scores. It's 27-29 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get first downs to end the game. They have to get first downs to end the game. And they're able to do that, you know, with CJ throwing it to Nico on that 3rd-and-11 down the sidelines, and then being able to get another first down with Joe Mixon. And then this week, being able to stop Caleb Williams on that last drive. Kind of similar, like that kind of reminded me a little bit of like just some of the games that they won last year on the backs of the defense, like against the Saints or against the Cardinals or against the Broncos. So they just might be a team that, you know, if it's down the stretch defensively, they can rise to the occasion.
We were talking about, DJ, the fact that at the start of the year, me personally looking at the schedule, I thought this was going to be an easier game than it looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, you'd like to be as healthy as possible. Obviously, you got running back issues now because looks like Joe's probably not going to play. You know, Pierce is out. Yep. And then from the offensive line perspective, after how good they were, no matter what you think of the Colts' front line, the line looked great. The holes were big. Mixon took advantage of them. Now you're looking at juice. You're looking at injuries on the line where even you might have to start a third-string center. What's the biggest concerns for you with injuries?
Yeah, I would say for me it's going to be center, right? Can they get one of them, either Pat Patterson or Juice, to play? Mainly because, you know, last week wasn't really about who was in the backfield. Granted, like, you know, Cam Akers had some decent runs. Joe had a couple of decent runs. But a lot of it was they couldn't, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't just on the fly. But what the Bears were doing was whichever D-tackle was closest to the center, they were picking him off to prevent him from getting to the second level. That's what they want to do, right? When they run the outside zone, what makes them most effective is getting the offensive linemen, whether it's the center, with guards, to the second level to pick up on linebackers. So now you have your bigger bodies down the field, so then Joe Mixon can find the holes and run through them and really get, you know, explosive plays and things of that nature. By the Bears, they were able to kind of counter that and then have Tremaine Edmonds loop around that and be able to. That's why so many runs went for like no yards.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, or it was tough sledding the entire night, because that's what they were really doing. And then like the Texans, they kind of adjusted by running different type of zones, like inside zone or power, and then that was able to kind of counter that, but we all know they want to be an outside running team and things of that nature. So for me, you know, one, again, which center is going to be there, and then two, it's the NFL. We always hear the cliche that, you know, teams, the copycat league. So I wouldn't be surprised if Brian Flores starts to do some of that to prevent them from getting outside of the numbers and being able to get their, you know, Cam Akers to that perimeter and the edge. So I'm really curious to see how Bobby Slowick finds a way to counter that, or do they just kind of adjust how they try to get up to the second level? Because in reality, what you could do is maybe just have that center not be the guy that tries to get the second level, and you just kind of have Shaq or your guards kind of get to the second level, but that would require your center really being able to cross that defensive tackle's face and really be able to get, you know, in his way.
I think the guards are capable of doing that. Like, if you did go that route, I think Kenyon and the run blocking and Shaq are more than capable of doing that. My fear with the interior offensive line, and correct me if I'm wrong, is in pass protection. They can't trade assignments. They have a very difficult time. You saw the Bears in the second half. Like, there are multiple times with four-man rushes, you stunt up the middle, try to attack the interior offensive line, and they're having a very difficult time communicating and passing off coverage.
Yeah, I think, you know, some of that is youth, because, again, like, you know, the person calling the protection is a second-year player, no matter who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Juice or Patterson, they're both second-year players. So some of that is that, because basically the center is the quarterback of the offensive line, you know, and if he makes wrong calls, not saying that they're making wrong calls, but I'm just saying if they make wrong calls, that is an advantage for the defense. And again, like you said, like, communication is some of their bigger issues and things that of that nature. Because again, like, week one, stunts beat them up.
Yeah.
Week two, stunts beat them up. And it's not like they're running. I think the Texans ran some stunts where they would have, you know, the Neil loop around or will loop around to the outside, because you can do that. But it's been very clear they're – opposed defenses are having their DNs loop inside while they have their D tackles kind of, you know, pick off.
And they're not even losing the one-on-ones. Like, they're not touching them because they're not there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where, and it doesn't even matter if it's D linemen. I mean, I remember, I think Tremaine and their other linebacker were able to run a stunt that was able to get to CJ unabated on a third down. So, yeah, like, this is one of those games that, as you said, as Joel said earlier, like, it seemed like, oh, that's a walk in the park. But now this game is going to be an absolute dogfight of the highest magnitude. Like, this is going to be one of the toughest. Like, last week was tough. I think it's going to be tougher because, one, I think the Vikings offense is more ahead of the Bears offense. And I think that their defense creates more problems than the Bears defense.
And I think that, you know what, Sam Darnold's, but I think his first, what, 5 years in the league, he had a different head coach and or coordinator almost every single year. Mm-hmm. And he really didn't play that much in San Francisco a year ago. But now it's kind of like what you want to see with Caleb Williams, what the Bears were trying to do, in that it's not that the best environment with him coaching staff wise, but they put a ton of weapons around him with Addison and Jefferson, and now adding Aaron Jones, and the line is good because they've spent on the draft in that. What surprised you the most about Darnold so far, and do you think it's sustainable?
Nah, none is surprising. He always starts well, outside of like
and you covered him in New York.
Except the last year in New York, it was bad from the start, but he usually starts well. He fades. I mean, he's just not a good quarterback. So, like, this is the stretch where he plays well. Even Carolina, his first year there, like, the first three games, he looked good, right? And then they all came back down, crashing to earth. So,
that's what we bring in here, DJ. Yeah, it's the real talk.
Yeah, like, you know, like, he's not doing anything that he didn't do. We know he can hit play action plays. I mean, right now, I think he's first in play, you know, touchdowns off play action. I think he's like top 11 in like pass rate and like 115 off play action. But, like, you know, I mean, if you can get him behind the sticks, that's when you'll have him. Just get him behind the sticks. So, like, the Texans is really going to be, can you stop the run, put them on like third and longs, maybe like third and seven, third and eight, and then we'll be able to get after him, because he's still Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? Like, he's still going to eventually make the mistakes. Because even as well as the defense has played for the Vikings, as well, the offensive pieces around Sam has been, he's still, I think, he's thrown like two interceptions through the first two games. So you can force turnovers on him. So this game really going to come down to which defense allows the least amount of explosives and big plays. Timing is going to be very important in this game. The Vikings kicking game is going to be very important. Like, this isn't, like, if you have fantasy guys in this game, you better, you know, hopefully you don't have that many Texans players or Vikings players. You got, you know, you got to pick the one that might be able to score and whatnot. I think it's one of those games where, like, maybe both sides maybe get two touchdowns, a bunch of field goals, but it's going to come down to which defense makes plays. But back to Sam, like, you know, if you can force him in third and longs, you'll have him right where you want him.
if he might have one of the best, if not the best receiver in the NFL. And I'm curious what you think that D'Amico Ryans does defending him. You know, you go back to Amari Cooper last year, first time they played him, didn't travel Stingley, played him in the playoffs, traveled Stingley much, much more. Do you think this is a week where Stingley travels?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
That's three today, DJ.
I've gotten three great questions today.
I'm on fire.
Yeah. Because it's like.
He gets to leave early now.
You have two options, right? You can either have Kamari follow Jefferson and double team him. So then Kamari can sit under all the routes. Or you can have, you know, Stingley follow him and do that. Or you could leave Stingley one on one on the island and then double the other receivers and then just hope that Stingley wins. It's just. The issue is Kevin O'Connell is so clever at getting, you know, Jefferson the ball in space and putting your defense at, you know, disadvantage in that aspect. There's no, like, great answer, to be honest. Because Justin Jefferson, he's one of those receivers that, like, double team doesn't necessarily matter.
Right.
Because I even remember, like, when Sauce and DJ Reed went against him in 2022, DJ Reed followed him a lot. And DJ Reed actually did a solid job against him, but he still scored. Right, so it's like, me personally, I would probably, since Jordan Addison isn't playing, right. I would have Stingley follow him and then double Jefferson on third downs.
Yeah,
I would have him follow him first and second on third downs, double him. Like, we can't let Justin Jefferson beat it. Because think about it, like, last week, the Vikings won 23-17. They got one touchdown off of a 97-yard touchdown. Granted, Jefferson got behind both of them. And was able to make something happen, but still, like, Justin, like, that one play, I think, in a game like this could be the difference between winning and losing.
Didn't get behind that official.
Yeah, okay. I know. I was just thinking about him. So I'd have beat him in a race, though.
We know the Bears' defense is good. And the Texans were able to do, especially in the first half, they were able to be effective. We know that the Texans' defensive line has been really good, and they've been able to get home. We know Flores. CJ's been talking about it. He's a guy that's a really good DC. He's going to show exotic looks. He's going to mix things up. What do you see more likely to happen? The Texans having the same kind of success they had against Caleb and the Bears in terms of getting home and doing the things they need to do, or that a Flores defense is going to give this Texans offense problems?
Flores defense giving Texans problems. What happened last week, like they were obviously they got a lot of sacks, got a lot of pressures, all that stuff. But, you know, some of that was on the, you know, offensive line just being bad for the Bears. And, again, Caleb being a rookie. I think, you know, Sam having Kevin O'Connell call plays, getting some easy looks and things of that nature, like, he'll prevent that. You know, Caleb being in that situation, again, like, CJ's never seen this particular scheme. And Brian Flores, if we go dating back to 2019, for whatever reason, well, 2018, but for whatever reason, he had success against this game. Right, mm-hmm. Whether it was in the Super Bowl, because he called plays in that Super Bowl against the Rams, held them 3 points. I know when he got to Miami. I remember in 2020, he saw McVay and Kyle Shanahan. I want to say back to back weeks, and yeah, I think he might have held them to like 34 points combined, something of that nature. But I know he forced a lot of turnovers in both of those games, and knocked Jimmy G out of one of them, and almost knocked Jared Goff out of the other one. So he's just had a lot of success. He's one of those guys like on the second time. Is when you can really get him. I remember, you know, the Vikings, not the Vikings, the Packers were able to get him the second time Jordan Love had a big game, because then you kind of have an idea of what it can look like. And even last week, right, like Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy and the crew, they weren't able to get the job done against that defense. And he saw what he did against them last year, too. And I think only guy that didn't play was Debo in that game. They still had their Avengers group outside of Debo, and they lost that game.
Yeah.
DJ, when are you traveling? You going up there tomorrow? Or?
Yeah, I'm going up there tomorrow, 5 p.m. You know, now I don't enjoy traveling like that anymore.
Same. So you got a Juicy Lucy while you're there?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's just a burger. It's like stuffed with cheese, basically.
That's nasty. Why would you want a burger that's stuffed with cheese?
Do you like cheeseburgers?
Well, you're talking to a guy from Wisconsin. Cheese is like all world.
I'm not crazy about it either. Yeah, like, just put the cheese on top. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm fine with that too. I'm saying, just don't degrade cheese. Don't degrade cheese.
I mean, you know, it's
grade right. The joke, DJ. Degrade cheese. DJ, right. Safe travels, man. Appreciate you coming on. Great insight as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
DJ Bienemy covers the Texans for ESPN, ESPN.com. You can follow him at DJ Bienemy. What are your favorite storylines of the Texans-Vikings game on Sunday? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You can bet all these games, of course, and I'm here to tell you about my favorite sports book and casino, and that's BetUS.com. Football is back. As we know, it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sports book and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you with a huge offer, a 125% sign-up bonus in your first three deposits. That's right, 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sports books simply don't offer. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5.
DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles is your best bet this football season. Catch all the action and immerse yourself in over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. Wager, watch, and win in the sleekest setting with the best odds. Order some of your favorite bites and sip on an award-winning cocktail at your game day headquarters. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Louisiana's largest sportsbook. At the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, a two-hour drive from Houston. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
Hey, everybody, John Granato with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, when do I know I need to buy patio furniture or it's going to be more cost-effective to keep what I've got now?
So if you go to your local hardware store and you get your clearance special, it's going to be your really cheap stuff, and next year you're going to be regretting it. So you could actually have a smaller budget, get your current stuff recoated, and actually get it customized to whatever color you want.
Call Houston Powder Coaters.
281-676-3888.
Or you can go to the website at HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Now, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Football is back, and MyBookie's here to make sure you're ready to cash in on the action. Joel Blank here. This season, MyBookie has incredible promotions, like weekly risk-free boosts on Thursdays, where you can bet without a sweat. If your bet hits, you win big. If it doesn't, forget it. MyBookie will refund your wager. What? Yeah, that's absolutely right. MyBookie is also giving away hundreds of thousands in prizes with their Super, Survivor, and Squares contests. Join in now for your shot at huge cash rewards. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag and use the promo code BET975 to claim some extra bank on your first deposit. MyBookie's bonus options make it easy to deposit with crypto or with credit. The bigger your deposit, the bigger your bonus. And check out the new loyalty program with MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more you win. It's that simple. Climb through tiers of the loyalty rewards program to unlock even more epic promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. MyBookie Plus is the lock of the century. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
If you love getting great deals and eating at even better restaurants, we have great news for you. Houston Restaurant Week has been extended through September 30th. The ESPN 97.5, proud partner for Houston Restaurant Weeks in 2024. And it's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. Dine out, do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds goes to the Houston Food Bank. Plus, let's go. you're supporting local restaurants. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. What are your favorite storylines of the week? What are your favorite storylines of this Texans-Vikings game? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
I think the first one to me, because I don't want to steal yours, I think the first one to me is just Cam Akers. I want to see Cam Akers be able to do what we've seen him and believe he's capable of doing. And the fumble hurt him last week, because otherwise I thought that no matter how high they were on Pierce and how they were telling everybody he was the number two, I just always believed in my heart of hearts that Cam Akers was the second best running back on this roster and that he was going to be that guy. Now he gets the chance to be that guy. He's going back to a team that he was there. It didn't work out. He's now gone. And maybe that's something that registers with him too, to where I hope Cam Akers has a good game, and I hope that this is the start of him kind of solidifying that if Mixon's out for a while or if they, you know, need to rely on a second running back, that it's Cam Akers.
Yeah, I'm curious. I meant to ask DJ this too. What he thinks that the work share is going to be at running back, because I don't think Akers is going to handle the full load. I think Dari's probably going to be your third down back. They love him in pass protection. Look, the British Bulldog Brooks is there. Now, he hasn't played an offensive snap. So is he going to play an offensive snap? Will they call somebody up? Will they call up J.J. Taylor from the practice squad and activate him? I'm really curious to see how they handle it. I think there's a 50-50 shot that they could call up J.J. Taylor. 50-50 might be high. Maybe a 30% chance they call up J.J. Taylor. I think the British Bulldog Brooks will get a few looks in the backfield, not a ton, a few looks. I think it's going to be Akers on first and second down and the British Bulldog on third down. Now, the fact that they lost Brevin Jordan was playing so many snaps. Mm-hmm. They were using a lot of 12 personnel with Brevin Jordan and Kate Stover, both on the field at the same time. So how they handled that tight end spot, I'm kind of interested in. Like, people are saying more Kate Stover. Well, Kate Stover and Brevin Jordan were playing at the same time. So if Kate Stover was your lead fullback and Brevin Jordan was a tight end that was on the field in those formations, who's taking that? I don't know if it's going to be Schultz. I don't know if they have anybody else that's ready to go. So that's going to be something I have my eye on when it comes to like how their usage is offensively. But I think my favorite storylines are all the old guys playing their old teams. And there's a lot of them. Shaq Griffin's on the Vikings. Blake Cashman, John Grenard, they're the obvious names. You look at the Texans. They have Stephon Diggs. They have Danielle Hunter, who was over there. In fact, Stroud was asked about playing Cashman Grenard. Here's what Stroud had to say about that.
I know them like the back of my hand. No, I'm messing with you. I don't know. We got to go out there and see. Them boys know I love them. I seen Blake in Vegas at the Super Bowl, and we chopped it up before he actually left the team. So we were trying to, because he was up on his contract, we were trying to figure it out, and I was trying to help him, you know, and I wanted him back, and same thing with JG. But, you know, some things don't work out like that. You never have the same team that you ended with. But, you know, I'm ready to compete against them. I know them boys ready to hit me because they didn't get to hit me last year. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
That storyline's great. There's John Grenard. I don't think he has a grade one ankle sprain, so he should be good to play. He had a sack last week. Blake Cashman was their leading tackler. I think it was 13 tackles in that game. And yes, they're going to want to destroy CJ Stroud, a guy who would always wear the red jersey in practice that they could never touch.
Well, yeah, there's no question that those are guys that I have fond memories of playing in this Texans defense under DeMeco, because they had a lot of success. And you wish them well when they're not playing the Texans. It is going to be interesting to see if they can get home and how much havoc they can create. I didn't think Cashman was going to be as good in Minnesota, but obviously with a defensive mind like he's working with now with Flores, it's worked out early for him. So I'm curious to see how that all plays out. I think the Diggs card is one that I'm also interested in seeing how that plays out, because I know some time has passed now, and I know for a while that, you know, he was beloved in Minneapolis, but I'm curious if they're going to react negatively, and to what level are they going to react negatively to Diggs coming back and playing in that environment.
I mean, they got Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs, so I don't think that they care.
I do think he's going to get booed.
I don't know.
I really do. I think that just the way it ended, and the fact that there was always the belief that he was going to be that guy for a long time, longer time than he was there, that I think that there is still some lingering where I think he'll get booed.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm curious, because the fact that you got Justin Jefferson, it's like, oh, well, like, we're good. We got the best receiver in the NFL. It's totally fine here. Here's another one from Grenard, because they were asking Grenard, hey, these guys over there, they're really good. And John Grenard's like, well, yeah, so are we.
They also know how talented those guys are.
Yeah.
Especially the quarterback.
Yeah, they also know how talented we are, too. Yeah, so they're very good, for sure, but we got a team over here, too.
Yeah, Grenard was a little insulted by that question. He didn't love that question. Yeah, those guys are good, but we're really good, too. I think my favorite in-game storyline is what D'Amico decides to do with Stingley and Justin Jefferson. I have no idea the direction. I think you're going to see a combination of both. I think you're going to see Stingley shadow some. I don't think you're going to see him shadow as much as he shadowed on Amari Cooper last year. I think that if he's not shadowing Stingley, I think you're going to see a lot of help slid to Lassiter's side whenever he's having to defend Justin Jefferson. But I don't think that you see a straight shadow.
Yeah, I am curious because you're right. I mean, look, it doesn't seem to be what they would like to do or what D'Amico normally does, but you brought it up with DJ. Look, we saw it happen with Amari Cooper in that Cleveland playoff game, and they had success doing it. So when DJ was talking about the fact maybe, you know, you start with Lassiter and he ends up underneath and you get help over the top, with Addison out, it obviously changes things a great deal because now you're going to focus even more attention on Justin Jefferson.
Don't sleep on Naylor now.
I'm not, but you know what kind of an impact Justin Jefferson can have. We saw it last week. We know he can do that, and he's capable of doing it on anybody in this league. And I think that has to be their main their focus, has to be priority one, taking Justin Jefferson away as much as you think you can because of the fact that he can completely turn a game on its ear with his ability.
Alex says, who wins the battle, Grenard or Tunsil? I would take Tunsil in that battle. Now, we'll see how much Grenard lines up over there.
Right.
Maybe they line up Grenard on the other side. I think they're going to try to exploit the Texans' interior offensive line. I watched the rest of the All-22 last night. There was a play, a four-man rush, where they loop around one of the defensive linemen, and again, the Texans have no idea what to do whenever they're passing off coverage. That Kenyon Green's like looking to his right, the guy loops all the way behind him, and then once he's clear of him, that's when you see Kenyon Green turn around. He starts chasing him from behind as he sacks C.J. Stroud. So Brian Flores is going to try to exploit that. Texans got to figure that out.
Yeah, no, and again,
that's their biggest weakness right now, by the way.
I don't think that the Texans fans realize, because all they hear is when Flores' name was in the news for other things, I don't think they realize how creative and how good of a DC Flores is, and with the weapons that he has that's at his disposal. I think CJ realizes it. I think they're going to see some things they probably haven't seen before, and he's going to try things like you're talking about and just to confuse everybody, starting with the offensive line. And they've got enough talent on defense, they can do it.
Yeah, they're talented. They're talented pretty much everywhere than quarterback, and probably tight end a little bit. Ocho, my question is, will Diggs expect more targets from Stroud versus his former team, and how will he react if he doesn't get those targets? This might be the first litmus test in regards to Diggs being a petulant child.
It's a pretty good point. Pretty good point. You know that aside from the Buffalo game on the schedule, this one probably had to be pretty high on his list. Going back to the cities, going back against his other team. I mean, he's got revenge games on his calendar with both of them. I think the Buffalo is the top priority, but I think the Minnesota game means a lot to him. So that's a very good point, something to watch.
Yeah, he'll be fired up. He'll be fired up. All right, I got to dip out early. The boys will take you the rest of the way. Got a flight to catch to Cincinnati. But the AFC South, is it the worst division in the NFL? The boys will discuss. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows, and they are good people. Mary and her family have owned and operated the business for almost 50 years, and they're focused all the time on giving you the best products, the best service, and taking care of Houstonians. That's why I speak for them, and that's why I've actually done business with them, because they are fantastic. It starts with the biggest and most important things to you. The fact that you're going to save money. The fact that they're going to take care of you. The fact that they'll give you a free estimate by coming to your house for whatever you're interested in. If you want them to tell you about both siding and windows, they'll do it. If you have specifically in mind either siding or windows, they'll break it down for you. Tell you the products to choose from, tell you the best fit for your house, and do it all for free. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936. Write it down. Remember this because it's free to you and it's going to be a huge service. 832-204-1936. They've got 30% deals right now on windows, $2,500 off a complete siding job too. And with that free estimate, you'll also realize they'll offer you discounts for if you're a senior citizen, military, and first responders. But the fact is they know what they're doing. They did windows at my house. Immediately upgrades the overall curb appeal of the house. A phenomenal look for the outside. But what's more important is what's on the inside. Your family, your belongings, and the fact you want to keep everybody safe. It's a hard outer shell to your biggest investment in your house. The siding does a great job. So do the windows. Hurricane season, we know that's a thing, that they'll protect you. Yes, the energy bills will keep your energy bills down up to 30 to 40% when you make the switch. But more importantly, everybody's going to be safe. And in the air-conditioned months of the summer, it's going to keep the cool in and the heat out and vice versa in the wintertime. They're fantastic, but you got to get in contact with them. Check out the website. See all the ways they can help you at allstatesidingandwindows.com. But keep that number in mind and call them for that free estimate. Let them tell you how they could possibly help. 832-204-1936, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Branham out, getting ready to go. Get a W, hopefully, for the Cougs. That means BMAC and I will take you the rest of the way. We'll take you up till 6 o'clock. Paulie G might get involved with a few of his...
Now that Jeremy's not here, I could play those more often. One more.
Wow, wow, wow.
No?
No, Paul, no. Definitely no, Paul.
Gray the Cougar Roar from Paulie G.
E for effort, F for actual presentation.
Okay, all right. Well, I would definitely echo A for effort.
This is why people want to punch him in the face.
You think that's the reason?
I mean, if he walked in and did that, and then he did his little cackle with his little head bob, I think he'd probably piss somebody off.
I think you hold being a cat dad against him more than I do, because I don't hold against him at all.
Cackle, not his cat.
I know, but we're talking about a cougar roar. It's a cat dad.
You think Paul runs around the house and does that with his cat when no one's around?
I'm saying there's a greater than 0% chance.
I'm saying there's a greater than 75% chance.
I don't disagree.
Yes.
I don't disagree.
I think he makes all the cat noises right along with his cat.
Pretty good chance he picks up his cat and makes it make the cougar noise.
I think there's a pretty good chance he picks up his cat and flies her around.
Hold on. What?
Carries her around the house and does things that we would probably do with our children when they were younger, Brian. I think he does those things with his cat.
All right. Sounds a little judgy, I'll go with you.
I'll let you take it anywhere you want from there. I'll just leave it right there for everybody to just... let ferment and do what they will. All right, so we were talking about this stuff at the start of the season, looking at the divisions and looking at the toughest divisions in the league. Look, I'll be the first one to admit, I didn't believe in the Colts as strongly as you guys did. I thought the Jags were going to be better than the Colts, but I definitely thought that the Colts were a very talented team, and I thought that in the division of the four teams, other than Tennessee, I thought you had three potential playoff teams that were right there that were going to be something that you had to really be focused on and concerned with. Right now, Texans are the only team with a win, the only team 2-0, all three teams 0-2. Right now, for as much as we were crapping all over other divisions like the AFC South, like the NFC East with some of the teams in that division, it looks right now like we missed the boat on the fact that the AFC South might be the worst division in football.
Yeah, it feels like we get to rewind to the good old days of the Bill O'Brien era when he would tell us, you know, it doesn't matter, Brian, AFC South champs 2 years in a row, because they're definitely going to be AFC South champs 2 years in a row, Brian. And it feels very similar. Now, I do think this Texans team is better than those teams led by, you know, obviously Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler in those two seasons. This team is infinitely better because the quarterback is infinitely better. But the division around them is very similar, and I think it bodes for a nice long run for the Houston Texans, because not only is it bad this year, as evidenced by their records all being 0-2, but you look at their quarterback situations, and I don't see help on the horizon. Now, maybe you think Anthony Richardson, who's only played, six or seven NFL games, is going to make a market, you know, improvement and become a much better quarterback. I'll leave the possibility of that aside. But beyond that, like, Will Levis, he's not that guy. Trevor Lawrence has taken a step backwards, like, 2 years in a row. I think the Texans could go on a nice 4 or 5 year run where they dominate the division, not only because they're great, but these teams, other teams in the division, don't have quarterbacks, and by the time they reboot, reset, and find the next guy, you're talking about best case scenario, 5 years before they have their guy in place ready to compete with C.J. Stroud?
Look, I think obviously for this year, I mean, all bets are off, but I think that the Texans, not that they're going to have a cakewalk, but I think that the path is very clearly set that they are going to run through this division and they are going to get to the playoffs a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, because I thought that it was going to be a three-team race and I thought that it might go right down to the wire, and I thought both teams would have a say-so in terms of playoffs positioning. Jacksonville, to me, just seems like they have the ability to turn it around. I still think I've never been a believer in Trevor Lawrence at the level that he got paid and at the level that a lot of people saw him when he came out of Clemson. But I do believe he's better than serviceable, and I believe that they have a lot of weapons around them. The Colts, to me, are the biggest surprise, but I never believed in Richardson. But I just thought that they were loaded on both sides of the football. And with a guy like Steichen that can create a game plan, just like he did for Jalen Hurts in Philly, to maximize the ability to run the football with the quarterback as well as one of the best running backs I think is in the league that I saw play at Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor, I expected more. I expected more from that line. You bolstered the receivers. I think that they had weapons all across the board. The fact that they couldn't go into Green Bay without Jordan Love, and they not only couldn't put points on the board and Richardson threw three picks, but the fact that as much as we sold it as Joe Mixon and the line was phenomenal for the Texans, that D-line, they spent a lot of draft capital and assets to get that Buckner and all those guys put together. They now look like that is a weakness for that team.
I mean, yeah, these teams all have glaring weaknesses, but I think when you look at it, look at what the Texans did for C.J. Stroud, and this, to me, boils down to why the rest of the AFC South is so bad. Look at what the Texans did for C.J. Stroud. They obviously, he walked in with Nico Collins already on the roster, but they draft Tank Dell. If you want to believe some reports, you know, Stroud told them to draft Tank Dell, and they went out and did it. They went out and got him Stephon Diggs. They went out and added Joe Mixon to the team. Whereas you look at the
Stover.
Other...
He wanted Stover. He got his guy.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, he wanted Cade Stover, his former teammate, Ohio State, and they got him. I mean, you look at the other teams in the AFC South. Now, they all made moves. They all seem to make moves to add to the teams, but they haven't worked. I mean, the Jaguars, they lose Calvin Ridley, but they bring in Gabe Davis. That's mm-hmm. that's a net minus. And Evan Ingram's been hurt. You know he's going to be hurt. And they didn't really do anything to shore up what was behind them. The Colts, I like Michael Pittman, but it feels weird that that was what they did for Anthony Richardson, or as far as what else is behind him. They draft Adonai Mitchell. There just needed to be more around him. And the Titans, obviously, they added to him. They add Tyler Boyd. They add Calvin Ridley. But you got an old wide receiver group. When you look at the Texans, beyond the difference of quarterback, there's just a large difference in the skill players around them. I mean, not only do the Texans have the best quarterback in the division, but you look at the skill players around them, they by far have the best skill players around them. So I think this is a trend in a domination by the Texans that will continue for a while, because these other teams are going to have to completely reset and recycle not only their quarterback, but their wide receivers and running backs around the quarterback.
And that's the thing. I mean, in one aspect of the two teams that are talented enough, you would think that it'd be easier to move. If Richardson isn't the guy, yeah, you drafted him high, but he's on his rookie contract. You can move on from that. Jacksonville's got the biggest challenge because of the fact that they're going to be paying that freaking contract.
And they just did it.
Yeah, you are stuck. And that's so to your point, of the two teams, the team that can still hang with the Texans to make it a little bit more difficult is Indianapolis. Because I think Jacksonville, we know how important the quarterback position is, and there's no getting out of that bad boy.
No, I think it's the worst team in the division, the Titans, but I also think they would have the easiest time resetting. Now, I don't believe in their ownership group to be able to get that done. They seem to be a disaster. But Will Levis was a second-round pick. He's in year two. You can move on from that much more cleanly and easily than the Jaguars can from Trevor Lawrence or the Colts can from Anthony Richardson. And you look at, you know, beyond that, DeAndre Hopkins is getting towards the end of his career. They didn't overpay their running backs to a great degree. Certainly paid Tony Pollard less than the running back in Indianapolis is getting paid, Jonathan Taylor. So Tennessee seems to be, like, you have to believe in their front office to be able to get the job done, but they seem to have a shorter window for a reset because they haven't paid the quarterback, because he's not a first-round top four pick in his second year. You can much more easily move and much more quickly move on from Will Levis and their skill players and reset than the Jaguars or Colts can. So the Titans have, if they're all three teams have to rebuild and reset, I think the Titans actually have a leg up.
The biggest problem with the Tennessee situation is I think they finally got the right general manager, and I think they've got a guy that knows talent, and I think they got a guy that can put together a plan that will be capable of turning that franchise around, restarting the entire process if they have to. They got good veterans that they have on defense. But I think, as you specifically about the offense, I think they're capable of doing that. But you mentioned the biggest point. As long as Amy the Skunk is involved and the Adams family is still owning that team, as much as we talk about owners that manipulate and meddle and get involved, like Jerry Jones, like Dan Snyder used to do, She's one that worries me because I would make the comparison to Dana Brown when Crane and the crew and the Crane gang kept meddling and getting involved. I think that they have the right organizational structure from the general manager position to make changes that will benefit the franchise. I don't think that the ownership group is going to allow them and allow him specifically to do what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I mean, of these three teams, do you have any hope? I mean, not hope. We obviously don't want it to happen. But if you had to pick one of these teams that would bounce back and actually maybe not push the Texans for the division, but, you know, be competitive down the stretch and push for a playoff spot, who would you bet on?
It's the Jags. To me, it's the Jags because you got a good coach.
Even though they might go, I mean, they're facing Buffalo this week. Yeah. They're likely going 0-3.
Right. But at the same time, I don't believe in Anthony Richardson. I don't believe that Joe Flacco is going to be able to come in and do what he did a year ago, even in Cleveland. And I don't believe in Tennessee at all. So I think that if you've got a good coach, you've got a good offensive mind, you've got talent on both sides of the football, I believe that of the three teams, the one team that's still capable of fighting for respectability and a wild card, I would put my money on the Jags.
See, I think I'd lean Colts for a reason you mentioned in your statement there is because of the head coach. Shane Steichen, of the three head coaches not named D'Amico Ryans in the AFC South, is the coach I by far believe the most in. Obviously, the Titans coach is in his first year, so you don't know what you have there. But yeah, I don't believe in Jacksonville on any level, both at coach and at quarterback. And Anthony Richardson, I mean, no doubt about it, he's been awful. He missed tons of passes in the game against the Texans. Obviously, you go to Green Bay, you lose to Malik Willis. That doesn't inspire much confidence. But I have confidence in what we've seen from Shane Steichen and his ability to mold an offense to the talents of his team. Now, I wish, I mean, if you're the Colts fan, you wonder why it hasn't happened so far. It's not like Steichen went into the season not knowing what Anthony Richardson was, not knowing what his strengths and weaknesses were. But I still think Shane Steichen can mold a run-first style of offense around Anthony Richardson's strengths and get that team with a good defense and a good running game and hopefully Michael Pittman involved because he's a good playmaker on the outside to a point where they can win maybe 8 to 9 games.
Yeah,
I see it as more possible than Trevor Lawrence turning it around.
What I saw last week in Green Bay was even more than what we saw in week one against the Texans. And I think the throws were even more blatant in certain cases that he couldn't make. So as much as you're right about the talent, and I obviously believe in Jonathan Taylor, and I believe that Richardson can run the football, but I think defenses will just come in and load the box, hold the edge, and put him in more and more of those situations to fail, and he will do that. He is not accurate. He does not know the right touch to put on the football, and I don't know if that's ever going to change, but I don't think it's going to change in the middle of a season or right now. That's why I wouldn't put any stock in the Colts simply because of that.
I guess I would break it down like this. Like, and I think I know your answer on these, but like, who would you believe in more, Jonathan Taylor or Travis Etienne?
Jonathan Taylor.
Right. Who do you believe in more, Michael Pittman or take your pick, Christian Kirk, Gabe Davis?
Michael Pittman.
And who do you believe in more, Doug Peterson or Shane Steichen?
That's, to me, Steichen's got enough that I'm a little disappointed with what he's done so far. I might lead Peterson on that one.
See, Doug Peterson's team, there's a trend. Like, I know he went to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia, but we've seen this trend now in two stops.
But you're only as good as your players can execute your plan.
We've seen this now in multiple stops where he starts off hot and the team's kind of, I don't know, it just goes downhill after that. We saw the quick turnaround when he took over for Urban Meyer, but then it trailed off and trailed off. I think, obviously quarterback is a huge concern, but it's a huge concern for both places. But I like Indy's coach, running back, and their best skill player better. So I would still lean Indy as the team that could turn around the most. But, I mean, overall, to get back to the point of this topic, I mean, the Texans are in a spot where they could run this division with ease for 5 years until these teams reset with new quarterbacks.
You're right, because as much as we crapped on the AFC South, I did not see New Orleans doing what they're doing.
Coobs, man. He's a revelation.
I saw Carolina doing that, but I thought they would have a lot of help. I didn't see Baker and the Bucks being able to maintain what they did even a year ago, let alone look better, and they look better.
Let's stick for that quickly. Is what Baker Mayfield has done this season give you more pause of what Dave Canales is the coach? Because everyone rushed to give Dave Canales for the ability to, or for the job in turning around Geno. They gave him the credit for turning around Baker. And all of a sudden, he leaves to go turn around Bryce. Bryce has already benched, while Baker's been great. And Geno has won the few 300-yard passing games
Brian,
this season.
I'm going to flip it on you, because I'm going to say that this ain't Canales. This tells you more of a telling tale about Bryce Young than it does about Dave Canales. I think that Dave Canales, when you have a guy that's tall enough, that's has enough ability and enough traits that could execute the game plan, that he can work with you. When you, in your first year in the job, unless, again, you've got another meddling owner like Tepper, that's way more, because they're not, their mum's the word on that. They're not going to tell you who all contributed to benching Bryce Young. But when you watch Bryce Young play over his last 2 years, the height does matter. The fact that the speed of the game seems to change him a lot, push him out of the pocket, put him in uncomfortable situations he's not capable like he was at Alabama. I would, if I'm Dave Canales and I'm already saying, because you knew you were going in to resurrect this kid, if you're already saying that you're done with him for the time being, then I think that's more of an indication that Bryce Young ain't it instead of Canales.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to obviously prove your point wrong, because Bryce Young has been terrible, and I do think Dave Canales is a good coach. I just think sometimes we rush to give coaches judgment for quote-unquote turning a guy around. I mean, obviously Geno Smith, second-round pick, Baker Mayfield, the first overall pick when he came out. Both guys had terrible starts to their career, so it's easy to jump to the conclusion, well, this new OC was the guy that turned them around, gave them a new new life in their NFL career, but what we've seen is Geno's actually been pretty good this year. Baker's been good after Dave Canales left, while the guy he just took over was terrible. So I'm a little suspect right now, I would say, on Dave Canales. Now, I think he could still be a good NFL coach, but I think we gave him too much credit for the turnarounds of Baker and for Geno.
Time will tell, and we will see. But look, it's a good thing if you're a Texans fan, because of the fact that we thought that this division was going to have two teams that would push the Texans, and right now it looks anything like that's going to happen. The exact opposite, in a matter of fact. All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Jeremy's out, so therefore my least favorite segment on the planet doesn't have to happen. We'll look for our car wreck of the day when we come back. But before we go to break, I do want to tell you one more time about the good people at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is exactly where you need to be with all the action. You got a Friday night game tonight. You got the Astros game tonight. You've got college football all day tomorrow. NFL on Sunday and Monday. Guess what? That is the place you need to be if you want to put money down on the games. MyBookie.ag, because they're constantly taking care of your customers. But more so than that, they've been in business for over a decade. They're not going anywhere, so neither is your money. They're going to keep it safe and sound. There's not going to be concerns or worries when you make a deposit. And on that note, when you make a deposit, use our promo code BET975. You cash in even more, because they're constantly taking care of you if you use our promo code BET975. You listen to us, you bet with them, you use the promo code BET975, and you will find more money in your account. That's right. When you put your next deposit in, or your first deposit in at mybookie.ag, and use our promo code BET975, you will find more money in your account, up to $1,000 based on what you put in. That means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. And even when there's not games to bet on, and there almost seems to be every time that there is, you can play casino games with live dealers standing by as well. They find all kinds of new ways creatively almost weekly to take care of you. And there's now a loyalty rewards program called MyBookie Plus, where as you continue to do business with them and bet on games and play poker and blackjack, you are going to climb up the tiers of the loyalty program. With each different tier, you'll get more rewards, you'll get more opportunities and more promotions. Check them out today, but do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, and use our promo code BET975.
Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, you know how we do it on a day, Monday through Thursday, and a day when Jeremy's out. We get to do car wreck of the day instead of mean text, which I hate. So,
what are you talking about? That was your favorite segment.
No, I never created it, never had a say in it, and I know that Jeremy loves it, and it drives me nuts, but it's fine.
You have any resentment towards
not at all, and I would never let it show publicly. So
you're hiding it well, Joel. I'll give you credit for that.
I appreciate that. I'll let... throw it right to you, Brian.
All right, so I've got two car wrecks of the day. I don't know if you saw this, but Jordan Hicks, obviously was the target of the Astros, if you want to believe, in the offseason, ends up going to the Giants. And he had an incentive that would have paid him an extra $83,000 this year. He just went on the 15-day IL, missed that incentive by one out.
Ooh.
One out.
One out?
One out. Not one inning. One out. One third of an inning cost him $83,000.
What was the incentive? Just like
innings? Yeah,
innings for the year.
Yeah, it was innings. So, oh yeah, it's just brutal. Now, I mean, he's getting paid, I think, $6 million the
yeah,
year.
I was gonna say.
So he's still fine. He's hashtag blessed, as some might say. But, yeah, that's brutal to miss 83,000 by one out. And my other one, selfishly, for my fantasy team, Ramondre Stevenson.
Yikes.
What the hell was that last night? He gets like 20 rushing yards, and he loses both of them on a fumble. If you had him in fantasy, gave you the big fat goose egg. So Ramondre Stevenson was brutal last night.
The main one that I got coming off of last night is, especially because it's New York media and everything gets overblown, but the whole Rodgers Saleh thing becoming this possible beginning of the end and this breakup and bad blood that's behind Rodgers and Saleh. When you look at it, and then when you really dive into it, that's the New York media trying to make something out of nothing, and that was a car wreck.
Yeah, no, it's certainly so. I agree with you on that one.
All right, what do you got with it?
I think I'm going to go with Jordan Hicks, man.
But that's out of his control, isn't it?
It is. Look, I'm not. Jordan Hicks is not the car wreck of the day. Just him losing 83,000. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, look. I mean, we'd all love to make what he makes on the total. But can you imagine losing $83,000 on whatever the radio equivalent is of one out? Like missing one segment of a show? And
if you're Granato, it's basically just a week.
yeah, true.
All right, we'll let you pick it, and we'll let it win because we don't have a tiebreaker. All right, coming up next is more of you because we've got a special edition of the Bullpen. Who needs weekends when you've got a Friday night special?
Yeah, you're welcome, Twitchers. Two more hours of me.
Sean Mapes, BMAC and Company, special
Cam
guests
Smith
of
with
plenty.
Us as well.
As we get to the listener party coming up, 8 o'clock, the Hall of Fame with Booker T, and then a whole lot more coming up after that, including Michael Carroll and Comicast. But stick with us. Have some fun. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.